Baba, siyabonga izwi lakho at this time, and we pray, Nkosi yami, that you help us grow us in loving you. We pray again as we continue looking, Lord, at a Christ-centered life. We pray that help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to understand your word and help us to be able to live, Lord, in line with your word. We pray for Unkumuntu la, Lord, to understand izwi lakho, and we pray that you'll give them the love for izwi lakho. We pray that God draw us closer and closer to you. Change our lives, Lord. Make us to look like our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Over the weekend, we were challenged on 5 topics. We look at being right with God, being right with man, serving God, serving man, and living a Christ-centered life. So today I want us to continue the subject, part 2 of living a Christ-centered life. Now it's very important, to live like yakho. There are many things on a base of uso, and all those things, they like a broken stick. It's like if you base employer in any other things except Christ, you are basing your life on a broken wall that is about to fall, and that's where you are leaning towards. So but it's very important, Uti, we base our life on Christ. Our preachers, they made it very clear that you need to fix your vertical relationship with God. You need first to be right with God. So before we can talk about how can we be right with other people, how can we be right with man, you need to be right with God. We cannot challenge you to be right with people. I mean, husband and wife always tell them this. When they get married, they say, "Look, please, you need to be right with God. If you get married, you are not saved, we fertilize you." That's what we are doing. Because we are hoping that you need to learn from God. You need to be right with God before you can be right with the next person. Before you can know how to treat the next person, you need to know first, kala ukuthi uNkulunkulu uma kanjani noNkulunkulu right. Zabazalwane, they said, if you don't know, the first thing you need to do, you need to believe, to trust in Christ. That's what you need to do. You need to give your whole life, your whole weight to Christ. That's what you need to do. You need to give yourself everything to Christ. Not saying, "Jesus, I'll give you this. I know, but you know that for me." Everything, we need to give it to Christ. That's what we need to do. So, but today, I want to present to you 4 ways how can a declared righteous sinner live a Christ-centered life. Remember, sir, we saw you are a sinner, and God is looking at you and saying, "You are righteous, you are right, you are holy." Unkulunkulu is looking at a sinner like me and you, and God is declaring righteous. Now, it's not making you righteous, it's declaring you. It's a declaration. It's a justification. It's justification is a declaration. You are standing in a court, you are guilty, and you are standing there, and they say, "Chris, you did this," and you say, "Yes, my Lord, I did that." And they say, "You also did this and that," and I say, "Yes, my Lord." And the judge says, "I'm finding you guilty." And I say, "Yes, my Lord, I did all of those things." And then the judge says, "It's fine. You are innocent." And now, if the judge says you are innocent, people will be crying and say, how is a sinner innocent? How is a sinner innocent? And the judge says, "I will die for you. I will die for your sin." That's what our Lord Jesus did. He died for us. We were sinners. We were not better. But he died for us. That person who is declared righteous, how can he live that? How can he live in pilo epukethwe uKristu, a Christ-centered life? I want us to look at these 4 ways. How are you going to do that? Number one, the first thing I want us to live is that a life that is Christ-centered, it will be living by the way. Living by Jesus. The first thing you need to live by is Lankuru. Number two, you'll be living by prayer. Number three, you'll be living by fellowship. And number four, you'll be living by the prophet. That's what I'm going to look at. Let's look at living by the way. Upila is. Upila is Lankuru. I don't know whether they always claim, Uguti, they love God and they love His word. But we know they don't live each and every day of their life by the word, by what they are claiming. If good a decision that they have to make, a major decision, the Bible said it's the last thing they think about. They think about many other things. They will go around and seek advice. But the Bible is like the Bible is in the corner somewhere. They don't even think that I need to know what the Bible says on this decision. Now, the first thing we need to do, we need to live by His word every day of our life. John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the word. We live by the word of Christ. Now, umzalwane ophila impilo, a Christian who lives a life that is Christ-centered, umzalwane, lo umzalwane loyo, he is a true disciple of Christ. Umfundi kaKristu wangempela. Now, read with me, John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My words, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now the true test of the believer of umzalwane is to abide in His word, in Christ's word. Wonke umzalwane, every believer, everyone must abide to God's word. Now if the person is a true believer of Christ, ask him, where is this person basing each and every day decisions of his life? Does he base his decision That is why we say that word, to abide, it means to remain in Christ. It means to obey Christ. You remember Peter in John chapter 6, verse 68. Remember when a lot of people have gone away from Jesus. And now, it's just Jesus with the 12 disciples, and they are sitting there. And Judas is still holding on. And Jesus said, well, what's the problem? Why should you go? And Peter is giving this word, to whom shall we go? You've got words of eternal life. You've got words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? That is why Paul says, let the word of God dwell richly among you. Alvane is likankulunkulu. Gini as you teach and admonish one another. Let the word of God dwell richly. We need the word of God dwell richly in you. We shouldn't be out of the line and we say, we live by the word. But there's lots of opinions that are richly in us than the word of God. You can ask the Corona about anything. They will give you their opinions about it. Ask them about their Bible. Eh? The book of Zechariah. Is it a Bible, Pastor? Are you sure? Yes, Zephaniah. It's a Bible. Ask them the last episode. Oh, let me tell you what happened. The preachers made it clear that if we have to live by God's word, we need to discipline ourselves. This is a discipline. I always tell them, pastors, they don't have the extra heart that is God gives them that love the word more than all of you. Eh? People, that's what they think. They think like, pastors, they've got this, you know, holy than thou. Look, when they wake up in the morning, they say, oh, how lovely is your word. Oh, my sweet wife, where is that sweetest Bible? Oh, I just want to drink from it. Where is it? No. We wake up like you and say, I'm tired. Hey, I'm reading a Bible this morning. I'm reading later. We all do that. But we strive for the Lord. We strive to discipline yourself. It is a discipline. It was clear you need to deny yourself. What do we mean by that? Make God the priority of your everyday life. That's the Lord. In everything that you do, God needs to come first. In everything that you do. Excitement that like everything that I'm doing, the priority, you know how to prioritize things. I think a lot of these days, they don't know how to prioritize their life. They start with everything they want to do, and God is never last in their life. That is the church that we have today. God is zero in their life. They can do any other things except God. Serving God is like the one, if I'm not busy. Somebody said to be busy is to want to do everything at the same time. Something needs to pass, and I cannot do it. Let it pass. Then you're not going to be busy. But if everything you want to do, then you're going to be a busy man. Deny yourself. You need to die. Denying yourself, say no. Not what your heart desires, wants. And you need to say no. That's what the pastors put it place. We're basically saying you need to let go of your agenda and pursue his agenda. Let go of your agenda. What you are planning to do, let it go and pursue God's agenda. That's what we have to do. But that one is hard. Unfortunately, we let go of God's agenda and pursue our agenda. And we wonder why we are so miserable. It's because of our agenda. They don't even give joy. We need to let go of the land. Let go of Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Christ says, if you still love your family, just forget. If you still love your family just more than Christ, just forget. You will never love Christ. I'm telling you. If you love your wife more than Christ, it won't work. She will wake up in the morning, honey, I am not going to church. You're like, okay, then. Are you sick? No. Why not? I'm dead. We've been in church from Friday. Now I'm taking a break. We'll see you taking a break. Pastor, we are not coming today. Two shall be one. Huh? So my wife, she's not coming. Two shall be one. In sin. Two are not one in sin. Pastor, you know we are no longer two. Why? We are not counting both. You have people skipping church with that excuse they expect you to announce. My wife is having a little bit of headache. Her brother, a little bit. Yes. So, we are not coming. I was like, oh, wait. Who is not coming here? The both of us. I didn't make it cold. Who are you? You're a pastor. Evil pastor. You don't want your brother to laugh. His wife. He's gonna make tea for the wife. Then you announce to church, oh, friends, please, that Mr. So-and-so is sick. Let's go after church and look at that. You get there. They are not there. Ah, brother. We want to see the wife by herself. Oh, she's fine now. We're walking on the mall. She's fine. We need to love Christ more than we love people. Love Christ more than we love your purpose. Who is number one in your life? Who is supreme in your life? Is it your family? Is it your life itself? Is it your education? Is it your career? Or is it your work? Is that number one? Christ supposed to be number one in everything, Masalana. Google, Christ should be number one in everything. I don't know, they also have this wrong structure. I don't know where today God is. They say it's, I don't know, family, God, and we, I don't know, some don't say God. In everything is number one. It's not like it's three points, Baptist points, preaching three. No. In everything, Christ should be number one. That is why Paul says, let the word says the word of God is enough for life and godliness. It is enough. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul saying, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That word breathed out actually means it comes from the mouth of God. Everything in this book, it comes from the mouth of God. You hear people, I want to know what is God saying. Every verse from that book comes from the mouth of God. That is why Peter says in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22-21, when these men were writing this, they were moved, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write each and every verse word that is in this book. They were carried by God. They were protected by God as they were writing these words and they were writing it for us. So the Bible is not just another book, it's the word of God. We need to make that one clear. It's not just a book of Mammon, it's the word of God. It's not just the Quran, it's the word of God. The Bible is not your magazine. It's the word of God. It's not daily fan. Daily fan. People they read daily fan. One read every day. The Bible you buy it once. Not one run every day. Run every if you buy it every year. The word of God. Now you'll have people who say when God does it, I believe it settles it. That's wrong. So God does it, I believe it settles it. That's wrong. God does it, whether you believe or you don't believe, that settles it. Not going to change. It settles it. Whether you believe or you don't. So, basically, Paul is saying, the word of God is enough. But, Father God, the word of God is enough for teaching, for doctrine, teaching good doctrine. The word of God is enough. If you want to teach, be a teacher of the Bible. You teach your home, you teach your family. The word of God is enough. It's enough. It's enough to test or to prove you. For reproof. To prove you. It's enough. People always say they like second opinion. But the word of God is enough. When God said it, you don't need a second opinion. It's enough. What do you think? Do you do everything and put the word of God as a test for everything that you do? That is like a filter. Everything should pass through the word of God, whether it's right or wrong. It needs to pass through the word. Is that how we do things? It should be enough. It is enough. We don't need a second opinion. When God says it, that settles it. That's the last opinion. We don't need another opinion. You know, we have people like our people, African people, that's got a long list of people that they go through before they do things. Long list. And my friend, come to uncle. I rest my case. I'm telling you, uncle. That means he's a king. Whatever uncle says at home, that settles it. He doesn't, it is not an opinion. You can say whatever you say. Ogo will look at you. And that is the final word. That is the final word. That's how sometimes we live our lives. Even Christians, they've got people with Masaba Kulmide, that is the final word. But the pastors, the word of God is the final word, including uncle's words. They need to come through the filter of God's word. Does it agree with what God says? Umalu, Mazala. Pass through. And if whatever Maluma is saying is not agreeing with what God says, we need to speak like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 verse 19. But Peter and John answered to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. You must decide, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to you? Are we going to listen to the judge?
Now, when I argue, talk with people who are older, this is how I normally put it. I say, you believe Unkulunkulu is older than all of us, right? Then they will say, right. That means whatever God says, that is what's supposed to stand, right? So what you are saying is actually against God. So I want to respect the elders. Who is an elder? You or God? Who is an elder? And they say, God. But okay, so I'm still respecting you. But between you and God, who is an elder? We have to respect elders. The word of God is enough to correct you after it has found you wrong. It corrects you. The word of God does not just say, you are wrong, but it's not corrupting you. It helps you to know how to make corrections. You know, it's going to do corrections. You don't say, I'm wrong, I need to get corrections. Have you ever think that you don't know how to fix things? You know, people say, I don't know how to fix things. I'm in a mess. I don't know how to fix it. The word of God can correct it. The word of God can fix it. The word of God is one. Is enough to train you and your kids. It's enough. It's not lacking something. That's how we think. We think we need something more to add. We need your experience. You need your feelings. How do you feel about this? Your experience. Myself. You don't need your experience. The word of God is enough. It's not about how do you feel. The word of God is enough. By the way, the word of God is not enough then to fix your car or your computer or your TV. But it's enough to train you in righteousness. Amen. You cannot just say, hey, Pastor Christian, the word of God is enough. Let me go and look for a verse to fix my TV. No, to train you in righteousness. In order for you to live a life that is Christ-centered, you need to fully depend upon the word of God. Depend on his teaching. That's what we need to do, Mazala. But I like the psalmist. Turn with me to Psalms 19, verse 7. Psalms 19, verse 7. See, what is the psalmist saying about his Unkulunkulu? So verse 7, the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law of God is perfect. It's not unfair. It's not imperfect. The law of the Lord is not stealing your joy. It revives your soul. It is like, when we talk about the law of God, it's like people who like sports. It's like playing soccer without game, without rules, without loss, no law. If you say you want to take the football and run with it, it's still fine. Huh? If ladies take the throw to each other, soccer, do you enjoy that? If there's no rules, you can score whatever points you want to win. Because it's like, this game is boring. You see? The word of God is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect in guiding us in what we have to do. You don't find any fault in reviving your soul. Now, when you talk about your soul, you talk about your life. In reviving your life, the word of God is perfect. Your life has lost its purpose on earth. God's law is perfect to revive it. God's law will give a direction to your life that doesn't have any direction. It is perfect. That's why the Bible says you need to love God with all of your soul. Love God with your life. It talks about revival, the word of God. It brings revival. That's what it does. That's why we look at it. Now, the psalmist continues to say the testimony of the Lord. You see that? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God is described as a testimony for us. It bears witness. It testifies of God's behalf. It is God's verbal testimony. People like to say, I am not sure. The word of God is sure. If you are not sure, it's Unkulunkulu. It's Christian. It's sure. Now, when we look at the word simple, these are the people who are open-minded. You see the people who are open-minded, gullible, people who take everything. Now the Bible says the testimony of the Lord is sure to make wise the simple, the open-minded, the people who allow everything. The people who are weak, not strong in what they believe. The word of God is sure. His testimony is sure. If you feel like you are not street wise enough, you know there are people like that. I'm not street wise enough. I'm not sure how do I live in the everyday life. The word of God is sure will help the people to live right. Teenagers, young people, if you don't know how to live your life, the word of God will give you wisdom how to live in each and every day life, how to make decisions. It's sure. It's giving assurance that I'm going to do that. It's witnessing on behalf of God. I don't know how to, you don't know how to live your life in university life. Around the students, so the law of things, the word of God is sure to direct you how to live your life. That's why we are saying if you live a life that is Christ-centered, then you need to live a life that you live your life by the word of God, everything. Now look in verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now that word, the precept, is the order, the charges. I mean, people, they don't like orders, eh? People who are disorderly, they just want, they like confusion. They don't want order. The Bible says, God's order is right. Everyone who receives orders or charges or instruction from God, that person will be right. That's what that verse says. God's instruction are right. Friends, do not despise God's instruction. He's right. God, He's right. Man's orders or instructions, they're not going to make you rejoice. God's orders don't make you rejoice. Man's orders, they can make you to be happy for a time, you know, for a certain time. But at the end of the day, you will remain in miserable. But God's orders are right. I remember a few weeks back, I took go to the interview in BU. So, me and Pastor Mark were taking orders from someone else, telling us, do this. We hope it will work with all these instructions. Then you got sick on the day of interview. Before the day of interview, did you process all those instructions he gave us? Then when we are here, we are not recorded. They don't know we are coming for interview. We say, why is so and so? I'm sitting there, men's orders. Following men's orders. Do this, it will work. You waste time, you waste money to do everything he said you do. He's not working at the end of the day. I'm non-suit ready. Above all, right, all the party principles. We deal with them like we are ready. Men's orders. But God orders, right? Have you ever given orders by men? Do this, it will work. Do this, it will work. When it's not working, did you do all sorts of things? Now you put it in. Man's orders. The commandment of the Lord is pure and lightens the eye. God commanded, commandment opens our eyes of the Lord of Bulameh. Yet God orders. Commandments, they make you say, wow, is this what God is saying? Wow, I didn't know that one. You see things with spiritual eyes if you obey God's commandment. Help you to discern. This is God's commandment. They open your eyes. Help you to discern what is right, what is wrong. Huh? Always ask. How do you see Mr. Right, Mr. Wrong? God's word, commandment, look at it! I'm telling you, you see. But we don't obey it. You don't obey it. But it's right, it's correct. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Dr. MacArthur, when he explains this subject of God's word is clean, he says it's a manual to worship God. In order to worship God in purity, his word, it is the manual. What we are saying, friends, God's word, it's like an antivirus to a computer. When you have an antivirus there to a computer and it goes, scan everything that you have, and it goes, error detected, there's a virus, what do you want me to do? He says, delete it. He said, this one is this false, so I go from delete. That's what the word of God does in our lives, as it comes, there's something wrong here. What must I do? Let's kill it. So the kid will explain that one. Just kill it. You obey. If we use the word of God and we use it as the antidote, we allow it to go through us and through our sinful heart, and the word of God is going there and is saying, this is wrong. You should say, amen. You know, I thank God, I like it, you know, and it benefits me, yeah. No, if God says it's wrong, that settles it, then you should say, God, how are we killing it? It's wrong. That's what we have to do. With the word of God. So, to live a Christ-centered life, friends, your life should be controlled by the word of God. That's what we have to do. Now we have to read it. Think about it. Meditate about it. That's what we have to do as we look at the word of God. We don't just only live by the word of God, but we also live by prayer. Now, one of the promises the Lord Jesus has given to the New Testament faith, he said, whatever you ask in prayer, Christ will do it. Do you believe that? Whatever you ask, he will do it. This promise is not for unbelievers. This is for Christians. If you are not believing in Christ, you cannot go out. So God said, whatever I ask. No. Christians, whatever you ask, God says he will do it. In John 15:7, if you abide in my word and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Don't live just by the Bible, you live by prayer. Abide in my word. Observe the sequence in the verse. How does it go? Start by living by the word. Obeying the word. And then you will be able to ask anything and it will be done for you. Now, you don't start by asking. When we talk about prayer, people, they always talk about starting by asking. When you talk about prayer, it's ask, right? We want to start by asking. But we don't start by asking. We start by obeying to the word of the Lord. For example, people, they like this verse, Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Some people, they interpret this, they say, you know what, I need to just keep going to church, that God will give me all the things that I want. Now, that verse does not actually mean that. Let me help you. That word, anach, that word, delight, is that Greek word that talk about pliable. Pliable, that means bendable. That's what it talks about. So this verse, therefore, will be translated like this, be bendable in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Allow the word of God break you, bend you. Then we give you the desires of your heart. That's what that word says. Allow God to shape you, to mold you. Then we give you the desires of your heart. That's what it talks about. That is why someone says, in order for us to pray better, we need to study God's word. Allowing God's word to tell you what is wrong, what is right, and you will learn how to pray, friends. You will learn how to communicate with God because you have allowed God to work in your life. So, ask anything in his word. You start with his word, he says, ask anything. It shall be done with you. What do you want to ask? He said, anything. Allow him to work in your heart. And you start desiring what he desires. You start desiring what he desires. Sometimes we have wrong desires and we are praying for them. And praise God. Praise God is not answering your prayers. Say, thank you, Lord. People are mean. God is not answering my prayers. Probably they are evil prayers. That's what James says. You ask, you do not receive. You ask wrong. Out of jealousy.
So God, help me to get 100%. Help me. Help me.
Because I'm jealous, I want to show them in class. I'm also wise.
They said I'm not smart. Help me.
Jealous, you want God to now grow your jealousy in class. That's what you want God to do.
Oh God, my friends are all driving. It's me.
Can't you say how my poor guess is? So my answer is free.
No. Dependable, eh?
Like to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Then we answer your prayers. Let me get jealous. You watch Facebook profile picture. They got wanted what? Instagram. They got this new what? Instagram. You put Instagram, whatever. You put everything you want. Hey, me, I'm behind. There you go. You take fasting for the whole match. Because you want God to feed that jealousy. You want him to do that. And you think, God, I've been a Christian for years. What prompted that? What prompted that? Is it jealous? Our Lord Jesus has promises. If you ask anything, he shall do it. My friends, do not be deceived. Not competition things that you want to compete with people and now you go around and ask God. He knows everything. He searches our hearts. That's why he's not giving us what he's not giving us. He's still working in his heart. You say to God that way, take a break. God is working in that heart and is realizing that there are still things we need to deal with. Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to those who love God and being called according to his plans and purpose. That's why God sometimes, he delays us because he knows us and he knows our heart. And we tell you friends, there are people today are no longer worshiping and serving God because of those things that they were praying for. Oh Lord, give me a wife. No, you're not coming to church. That's what we are doing. Give me a husband. Now when he gives you problems, you start not coming to church. How can I go to church where my husband tries things to preach me every day? He knows better. Okay, we learned. We need to be bendable. Allow him to bend. Delight, rejoice in him working in your life. And rejoice, because I'm glad, God, you know better. How many tell people you go with kids to the mall? They find everything. Yeah? You know, they see this Sangoma dress, they like it. You put a Sangoma dress, and they begin to say, I want that dress. And, hey, let's go. The man, they shall cry and rock and bust. You will never find it. It's not good for them. What are you doing with the Sangoma dress? That's what you look at it and say, you don't know what you're asking. God knows better. Doesn't matter how much they get, you can cry the whole from shop to home. God can cry. You say, my dear, please sleep when you are there, cry. Thou shalt not get that dress. It's not good for you. And to be honest, he knows better. We should rest that in our spirit. We not only live by prayer, but we live by fellowship. Fellowship with friends. That's what the Bible talks about. The person who lives in the Word of God and the person who lives in prayer will never have a problem with living with other believers. Will never. There are people who have problem with living in other believers. It's a sign, it's a mark, it's a symptom that they don't delight to live in God's word and in prayer. They are not praying. You see what the way they live. They are every day like, what? Pastor, me, I'm fine with my Bible and my God, not meeting with people. I'm fine with my, I pray, I pray. pray at home, in my room. I read the word. Which one? Which verse you read? Friends, you need to say this so that we'll understand. The pastor did well in explaining John chapter 3, verse 34. If we pray, if we read God's word, now in John 13, 34, Christ says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love for one another. Christ's commandment in this verse is not to love each other. Christ is not saying love each other. He's not. But he's saying love each other just as Christ has loved us. It's not just that you go around love each other anyhow you want to love each other. The world is defined the love wrong. So Christ is not saying love each other. If a person will say, hey, Christ, love each other. The pastors love each other. Some people have the wrong way of loving. I'm serious. You see a man beating a lady. And just say, bah! Hey, what are you doing? Bah! Listen, I like it. Umshailani, babe, umshailani. I love you, umshailani. I love you so much. I love you so much. So, that's why I'm pleasing you. I love you so much. Even the lady asks, why don't you take him to the police? I love you. I love you. You see how they're talking about love? Amen. But the word of God, just like Christ. But friends, how did Christ love us? If we have to love each other like Christ, how did he love us? Friends, you look at the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were still sinning, he didn't love us when we were better. He didn't love us when we were clean. He loved us while we were dead in our sins and trespasses. When we are vicious, we have been dead. From hopeful, he loved us. Jealous, he loved us. Why do I still sinning? Eh? Some people by lawyer, they were still by lawyer, were sinners. The wicked people, he loved them. And some drinking, drunkards, he loved prostitutes, breaking families' homes, he loved them while they were still sinners. Not that. But now when we love people, like Christ, just like, my friend, you don't have any reason not to love them. What is the reason then? If you love like him, and you love him when you were in your worst state. Now, what is the reason? What reason can you give me not to love your brother? Which thing that you have done that Christ was not aware of? Loving just like Christ. Friends, loving just like Christ, bend their rules. You need to be bend for something. Huh? Loving like Christ. It's not this love that you people talk about. Feelings. People, that's how they define love. How do I feel? Always tell people. My friend, ask people who are married. We don't love each other, but it's not feelings. Feelings come and goes, and the person remains. That's what I'm asking. My friend was telling me, I was like, so how's marriage? Marriage? I'm like, it's good. That's it. Is she looking like your sister yet? Like, what do you mean? He's like, ah, she's like your sister. I was like, she's like your sister. Basically, we don't feel it now, gone. What do you do now? That's why, now I took it to divorce. No, why you want to divorce? No, we don't have love anymore. What do you mean you don't have love? I don't like feel those goosebumps I was feeling during our dating stage. Those were feelings. Christ didn't look at us, friends, and feel that we look good. Some of us, those feelings were evil, sinful.
God, it's Christmas time. Look at me when I stand next to him. I mean,
that's how ladies, she's gonna be telling me like that, with those eyes. That's what your ladies will talk about.
I'm like, I'm standing next to him.
At church, you are going to be coming. You want to say you would go up over his baby. You let him up and say, hey, shut up, shut up. Because you want them to not. That won't work.
The warning we used to give each other while we're singing, we're like, friends, please, when you take a wife, don't take that woman for us. Because unfortunately, you're not going to stay with us the rest of your life. We can go to different places. You'll remain with that woman. You'll be like, oh, people will see us. People who wants me? Who wants to visit you? People sometimes will not visit you. As I was hoping they would come and visit and see how nice he is. He or she. They are not coming. They are not visiting. There are two of you. 24/7. It's not the reason. But listen to what Peter says when he speaks about love. I think Peter is the right person to say this. Because Peter, you know, that he was feeling good, being with the Lord Jesus, and he says, I'm not going to deny you. Feeling that I'm not even if I will die, all of them, but Lord, maybe, me. I love you so much, Jesus. I think we realize when he says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Friends, love covered a multitude of sins. So which reason then can you have of not loving your brother in Christ? Of not loving your... Love covers a multitude of sins. What is it that a poor brother has done for you to disqualify him? What is it? Is this love not enough to cover his... What is it exactly that he has done? What is it? How often has he hurt you? Huh? Has it already reached to 490 times in a day that you cannot forgive him? Arara, leave church! I cannot continue in that church. I rather, with so and so, he took my man, my man. That's how people speak. He, my man. Your man. You're in competition with God. You call us your man. 490 times in a day. One day. Please, those who are married, keep reminding each other. Eh? When the person doesn't want to forgive, you know, sometimes in marriage, they are fine. In marriage, they are fine. They sometimes act like they do. They know they must forgive you. They say, ah, baby, it's 20 times to this day. I have been retarded, ah. So you're angry. I've been retarded 20 times. I still have a lot to go. You still have a lot. If you are seriously offended, you say, at least I'm in 200 now. Today I've been in 200. And tomorrow you start from one. You don't continue. Yes, it's a serious day. That's what Christ said. You start from one. So there's no reason, friends, not to fellowship with our friends in Christ. Some of us, we need to repent. Friends, some of us need to live there and make some calls and ask forgiveness. Some of us have been angry for a long time. Being Christians, we've been angry for a long time. It's not healthy, by the way. You live and get sick, I'm telling you. It's not angry. The doctor told me that stress causes cancer. Maybe they are suffering from it. I say, yeah. Hey, stress, I must always be smiling. That's stress, I say, yes. Some of us need to be subconscious. I've been angry for too long. Forgive me. I've been sinning. If there's someone, anyone, you cannot speak with a smile, fix that one.
How are you going to share the gospel? The whole world will know that you're my disciples. How are you going to do that? Okay, let me give you a good and better example. What if that person decides to come to church? The one who's been not speaking you for years with him. Yes, then he decides to come to church and he finds in you singing, we turn to look at that time. And then that's the one. Serious, people will end up acting like that. How will you do? Just fix it. Deal with it. You need to ask forgiveness. You need to do that. Then, the word of God is the way which God communicates with us. Prayer is the way which we communicate with God. Fellowship is the way we communicate with each other. Means with each other. And the gospel is the way which we communicate to the world. That's what we need to do. Living by the gospel. Number four. Christians, we need to live by the gospel. If we live a Christ-centered life, our life should be saturated with the gospel. But this gospel is not only for unbelievers. We also need the gospel, friends. We need the gospel. Each and every day. When we sin, we need to remind each other the gospel. We need to share the gospel. Sometimes people, when they sin, they feel like, I've lost my salvation. I'm no longer a Christian. How can I react like that? Yeah? How can I be so angry like that? I'm no longer a Christian. We need to still remember the gospel. While I was a sinner, he died for me on the cross. And what is this? What are we, when we talk about the gospel? We talk about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are talking about. Why did our Lord Jesus Christ have to die? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 4. Why he had to die? Why? You know, you have people today saying, Oh, Pugina, we're sleeping. People there wake us up. Oh, Pugina, why did he have to resurrect? Have to explain why. Why he had to die? Why he had to die? Because of your sins. He had to die because of your sins. Why he was supposed to be buried? To prove that is this. People who are buried, they are dead. If you die, we bury you. Why he has to resurrect? To show that God has accepted his offering, his gift. Imagine if Christ didn't resurrect. It would be like a high priest when he enters the Holy of Holies. If he's not coming back, he will die there. Do you know what does that mean? Your sins are not forgiven. And people will drag him out. And still crying this year, God didn't forgive us. But Christ had to die. He had to resurrect. And to show to us that we will resurrect again. That is the gospel we need to take to the world. He appeared to people. That's what I like. He appeared. We are not facing a ghost. You know, there are people thinking, this is going to be Paul. Christ was not a ghost. He appeared to people. He eats. Like us, he eats, he said, give me some bread, let me eat. That tells us we will eat in heaven. Eh? Don't think we'll starve in heaven, we will eat. One preacher was preaching a prophet. He says, do you know that when we get to heaven, we'll get there with our taste buds. In a perfect state. Now they are in sin. He says, in heaven, your taste buds will be in perfect state. You never will not be the angel like that in your entire life. In heaven! How much is it? After the resurrection. In a perfect state. Within heaven. That's what we're going. My friend, you never be in a place where your heart is not even thinking of anything. Here on earth. In heaven, we'll be like Adam in the Garden of Eden. I'm not going to create him. It's cool. That's what we are looking at. But we have to live by the gospel. Taking the gospel to the world and share with people. Share with your friends. Share with your family members, colleagues and neighbors. Friends, I think we need to learn how do we share this gospel if we live by it. Sometimes we don't know. Friends, I already gave you points. The death, burial, resurrection, appearance, and the ascension when you go see. Have those 5 points, you share gospel. You know, and Hannah. When people have problems and they come to you and share problems, don't be quick to try to give them some psychological advice. The word of God is enough, by the way. Don't start thinking of some psychological advice. How can I advise them? Breathe in and breathe out of my head. Just be quiet, breathe in, okay? Do solitude. Do not solitude, buddy. Do solitude, be alone in your room. Clean your mind. Empty everything. Find the new you. Who knew you? You care to sleep. A trespass is what knew you. That's why you find the new you. You is in Christ. Believe in Christ. Trust in Christ. Christ changed in you. That is the new you. New you in Dickie. Just be quiet. Go to a camp quietly and sit there on the mountain. Muhammad on the mountain, demons speak to him. He started that good for nothing religion that is taking people to hell. Islam religion, now they are killing people in Nigeria. He found that quiet loneliness in the mountain. That's what he did. Shabba, he found this religion of Shabba now. Taking 20 wives if you will, if you want. He found it also quiet in the mountain. Find his religion. Now they bring it into a group. Just be quiet. You understand yourself. You need the power to understand yourself. You need the God's word to understand yourself. That's where we need to bring the gospel to people. I said, friends, say, and be quiet. Sometimes we speak a lot. We Christians, friends, we need to learn to be quiet. And people tell you all their problems. They say, hey, the problem is the death of Christ. And what's the problem about the death of Christ? It's because he died for things like this. All these things that people can't see. Christ died for that. All these things. You see this anger. Some of you ask, well, can I tell you? You miss the opportunity to show the gospel. They are angry with another person. They can't tell you how angry they are. They wish to kill them. You can't don't do that. Don't you can't sound them like that. Say, hey, I believe you. You can do that. Why do you believe me? You can do that. Because we were dead friends. I used to think like that. I used to trust in people like that. But Christ died for those. Do you know? Did you know that Christ died on the cross for people who are ignorant like you? Did you know that? We need to learn how to share the gospel. The Bible says we need to be wise. Sometimes, you know, we need to be wise. We need to ask God when people are busy bringing issues, problems. We need to be thinking, how am I going to live with Christ? Live a gospel-centered life. How am I going to share the gospel? Lord, help me. That's what we need to do. In fact, one morning we were with my friend and sharing the gospel the most. And sharing the gospel with some Sangomas. As we share the gospel, the house is open, and you see all the meat there, everything. And these Magogos are listening. And I'm trying to discern which is which. Who is waking in that room? We are sitting. You start praying there. See dry bones there. You're like demons are close. Not far. And now they are speaking tongue, and we are busy sharing. And now, you know, someone from KZN begin to say, after speaking, you know, we try to defend what they are saying. And he says, I'm like, hey, I know, the Lord is with us. We are sharing. And they are listening to us. As we continue sharing, get to see and we explain and all that. And this is also speaking. The other one help us to translate and so on. And when we finish and we are going, and someone says, yeah, I know, we need the gift of tongues. I'm like, yeah, I know, you're correct. I'm taking some time, I'm thinking about that one. I'm like, no, we don't need the gift of time. We need more songers! We don't need the gift of time. Share the gospel, do more songers, and take them alongside. And so we need you there. People can speak your language.
If you know, they need, I mean, if we go to Malawi, people speak your language, we need Ethiopians to go with. We are Christians. We need them. When you meet people with new language, say, hey, in church we need you. We've got a lot of your people in our area. You know, if you can serve the Lord, we'll use you. Friends, the Phineas is great. Laborers, Christ didn't say tons of you. Pray for tons. Get it in. Laborers is plentiful. Pray for workers. We need more workers who can speak the language and share the gospel. If you know three more than four languages, we need you Tuesday and Thursday. Go with you and share the gospel and help them. We need to live a life, friends, that is centered around the gospel. Last point, my conclusion. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. I'm not ashamed. That is the power of God for salvation. I remember Pastor Kelly. He said, the devil cannot stop the wind. It is powerful than any double-edged sword. Okay? The devil one day, one try. Jesus has got behind his Satan and he was gone. The word of God is so powerful. Okay? Then he said, number two, the Holy Spirit, the devil knows, he cannot stop the Holy Spirit from convicting people's hearts. He cannot. But he said the devil can stop you from opening your mouth. Be just a nice Christian at work. Being a nice Christian at work, one church, because this is how we convict people because we are nice Christians. Start speaking, start opening your mouth. I once said people always pray for people to speak in tongues. Maybe we need to open people's mouth. Pray for them. Open your mouth. Open. Ask the gospel. Just speak. If you share the gospel, that's not your way. The word of God, it's powerful. It goes to the heart. It's so powerful. It defends the thoughts of man. The word, just you need to just open your mouth and share the gospel. That's what we need. That's what we need, friends. To live a Christ-centered life, we need to keep these four things being a full part of our life. We need to strive to study God's word, listen to it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Friends, we need to strive to be men and women of prayer and always praying, even if you can't be there. You are working, you can't share with people. Pray for more souls to be saved. I think we even forgot to pray for people to be saved. Pray for them. We need to do that. Live by prayer. We shouldn't be discouraged by unanswered prayer. Keep praying. Strive, friends, to maintain a sweet fellowship with other believers. Sweet fellowship. We need to strive to maintain that. Strive to know and share the gospel with others. Do not make it a habit that you don't share the gospel. Let that not be a habit. That you don't speak about God. That is your habit. Some people, they develop that habit. They're not, no. They are even known. Some, they are not even known that they are Christians. Not at all. We need to pray that God gives us wisdom and boldness to share the gospel. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that Father, help us. Lord, as we live our each and every day life, keep us in you. Protect us, O Lord, from any, Lord, doubt and from any fear. And help us, O Jesus, to love you and love your word. Help us to pray as your word says. We don't even know what to pray for. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit in our lives who's helping us each and every day. We thank you, O God, for these believers you have saved and changed. And we thank you for your gospel that has saved us and changed our lives. We pray that we'll be bold in sharing it with other people. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.